Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
It's Monday, middle of the month is past due. Your taxes may be as well. Thanks for being a part of our program. A lot to deal with today. We'll review some of the spring games, look ahead to a few more, and of course, take your phone calls. We begin with some headlines right now. And is it over before it even began? We're talking about the Georgia QB race to replace Stetson Bennett, who started out about the fourth stringer. But is it all about Carson Beck? We'll have the latest on that coming up shortly. Do the Vols have a QB battle? Yeah, some people think they do. And Josh Heupel's third year looking like maybe somebody can give Joe Milton a run for his money. Spencer Sanders, the QB transfer, there's a few of them, by the way, for Lane Kiffin, had a good day. Lane Kiffin seemingly happy. Meanwhile, Zach Arnett got it going, and by all accounts, Mississippi State had a good spring game as well. It's not like we see the spring games, but what do we learn, I think, is often the bigger question. There's a new king in the state of South Carolina. Well, that actually happened on the football field last November when South Carolina upset Clemson, and the fans showed out even more as well. Everything is measured in the Palmetto State. Arkansas's game was physical. What do you expect from Sam Pittman? Not a lot of fireworks, but that's okay. They know who the quarterback is going to be. And shock me if you've ever heard this headline before. We got work to do.
Really?
That is the war cry from the head Aggie.
Oh, he's crying.
Texas A&M's Jimbo Fisher. We are going to talk about all of that, and who better to start with than Barrett Salee of CBS. Barrett, it's been a while. Thanks for dropping in. So I've given you seven headlines. There's some intriguing battles ahead with Alabama this weekend. LSU still out there. So what is your treetop thought on what we've seen so far in spring ball?
Well, the last quote you said with Jimbo Fisher is basically par for the course with everything that Jimbo Fisher says publicly. I think with him, he's going to do his best to keep everything under wraps. And I mean, rightfully so. He understands that the pressure is on him unlike any other time in his career. In fact, I posted a story today about the seven coaches under the most pressure in the country, and Jimbo obviously is one of them. And outside of that, you mentioned Georgia, and yeah, Carson Beck had the best day of the three. Brock Vandergriff, I still think, is the most talented quarterback on Georgia's roster, but it might not be time for him to actually be the starting quarterback. And if that's the case, you know, where does he go? That question was kind of referenced a little bit, and I wouldn't say he dodged it. It just kind of was, you know, brushed off. But, you know, that Georgia quarterback competition, and we mentioned this yesterday on SiriusXM, the three guys that are in that mix, Stockton, Vandergriff, and Beck, they all, you know, are backed up one class on each other. So the losers are not going to get a chance to have significant playing time, but probably can start somewhere. So you're talking about the next, 12 days of their lives being perhaps the 12 most important days of their football career, because there are places they can start, and they've got to decide that pretty quickly. So that's what's so interesting about this is right when some of these spring practice sessions wrap up, you have the transfer portal, and in some cases, like Alabama's, you know, it's going to be half over by the time the spring game happens. And so it's really convoluted this year, and in Georgia's case, I think especially for the two quarterbacks who end up losing that competition.
And on Alabama, we haven't seen their spring game yet, but there's already rumblings coming out of camp that they may not really have a replacement for Bryce Young would be a farcical statement, but a successor. Could somebody end up at Alabama? I know that's an open-ended question, and if so, who could that be?
Yeah, I think somebody could end up at Alabama for sure. I think it's the first – when you have a new offensive coordinator who is, I think, clearly there to change the scheme up a little bit, or at least at the very least change the philosophy up, which Tommy Rees is clearly there to do, then your quarterbacks on campus, I wouldn't say are at peril, but – they're up to, their roles and their statuses are up for review. And the fit within their team is up for review. So, if Ty Simpson or Jalen Milroe aren't good enough, or both of them aren't good enough, then Alabama will probably be in the portal. And Nick will only have 7 days to do it, but it's Nick. You don't have to recruit guys. You just have to welcome them if they want to come. And mostly everybody does. So I've heard the same rumblings you have, and if there's some validity to those, I would imagine things happen quickly. They're not going to happen this week, but certainly next week when Alabama's done with spring practice.
Barrett Salee with us from CBS Sports. The story Barrett put up involves, as he referenced, coaches under pressure. And you state in your piece, we're not talking about the hot seat, because I don't know at what point in anyone's life Jimbo Fisher would ever legitimately be on the hot seat. But let's talk about pressure, and what does that mean, and what do you think he needs to do to alleviate some of that angst out there?
I think the first thing is take a step back. And, if you're going to hire a guy like Petrino, let him be Petrino. And not from an attitude perspective, because that's just horrible. But from a stylistic standpoint, let the guy coach. And I think too many times Jimbo has micromanaged everything about his program. And, granted, he had some success with that at Florida State, and he had some success with that at Texas A&M during the COVID year, which is hard to do. But the first thing that Texas A&M fans want to see is sort of a shift in his attitude and philosophy as a head coach. And then beyond that, though, I tend to disagree with you about the hot seat. And I kind of wrote this in the story too. Yeah. The guaranteed contract is just massive, right? Like it is, 10 years, $95 million before the 2021 season. That's a lot of money. However, with the SEC TV contract kicking in next year, there's going to be a lot of incoming revenue, right? So do you put yourself at a little bit of a financial shortfall by letting him go, knowing that there's going to be a massive uptick in revenue coming, later on down the road once you get out from underneath that short-term hit? I don't necessarily know the answer to that question, but I don't think it's far-fetched to say that he is on the hot seat and that Texas A&M might be willing to eat the rest of that contract, knowing that there's going to be more money coming in.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer to that is either, but if you could tell me what oil prices will be at the end of the season, it might be easier to answer. Barrett Salee.
There are a lot of reasons I can't do that.
Barrett, you mentioned a couple of other people in your piece. Billy Napier is also mentioned, and that's the one that I can't understand very well, because he's off to a miserable start. Let's acknowledge that. But where does he go from here, and in terms of pressure, at what point does that start to really be real?
Yeah, probably after this year if things don't improve. But the thing with Florida and with Billy Napier is it's kind of all tied to Georgia, right? Georgia's going through a transition to a new quarterback. So, you're kind of in a wait-and-see mode with your biggest rival if you're Billy Napier. But if you're not closing the gap, what's going on here? I think for Florida – They have to show that there's at least a legit chance that they catch up to Georgia in the near future. And obviously 6-7 won't cut it. Would 8-4, depending on how they look, especially if they look better offensively? Sure, maybe. But I think that's the biggest thing with Napier, is that he was hired to to fix all of the problems, to recruit at a high level, to be more consistent offensively, more balanced offensively. And, you know, you didn't see that in year one. And the gap with Georgia expanded, obviously, because Georgia won the national championship. But you have to show that's not the case anymore. And I don't know if this team can do it. But to answer your question, you know, if things get worse this year, then 24 is going to be really interesting, because it's not going to get any easier with, you know, Texas and Oklahoma and what we assume will be the 6-3 schedule rotation.
Barrett, with two great quarterbacks from a star standpoint on his roster, a year away from the SEC, and a road game to Alabama, just for starters, what is the shape of Steve Sarkisian this year?
I think that Sark's program – look, I know Texas is a lightning rod for criticism, right? But the jump they made from year one to year two under Sark was pretty impressive, especially considering his starting quarterback got hurt in the fifth quarter of the season, right? And in that fifth quarter of the season, the first quarter against Alabama looked awesome, right? So I think that's a pretty significant step forward. And then going into the transfer portal and getting a guy like A.D. Mitchell and a couple other guys, you know, in addition to signing Arch, you know, I think that there's momentum for the Texas program. So I think for Texas fans to be happy with Sark, they have to at least contend for the Big 12 this year. Does that mean they're going to contend for the SEC next year? Of course not. But I think it'll give them hope that the program's foundation is strong as they make that transition and potentially could be contending for an SEC championship game appearance in 25 or 26. So I think it sort of gets overlooked, the success that he had, or at least the jump that the program made in year two, especially considering the circumstances that sort of existed on that roster throughout the rest of, throughout the course of last season. So I think they're pretty content. And if there's another step forward this year, even if it's a small step forward, I think the program will be on relatively stable ground as they make the transition.
Bear, let's end with Georgia. You alluded to the quarterback situation earlier. They're in a position to do what no one really in the legitimate world that we live in college football has ever done. What is your assessment of this Georgia program, and what do you think the odds are they do it again?
Well, if you're talking about a dynasty, it's right there, or some would consider that it's already happening, right? I think when you win back-to-back national championships and you are the unquestioned king of the college football world, that's hard to ignore. And I think if they were able to do it this year, or if they're able to just, you know, get to the playoff or get to the national championship game, you're talking about a team that is, you know, comparable to Alabama of the 2010s. And I think they're pretty much at that point now anyway. And to go through a quarterback change and an offensive coordinator change in the way that that has happened, that's, again, another notch in Kirby Smart's belt if he's able to do it and show that not only can he sustain success with a team that, you know, has won two national titles and fend off that complacency, but do so with massive roster and coaching turnover. That's again, comparable to what Alabama did in the 2010s. And only one team can beat that team any decade, and right now it's Georgia.
Barrett Slee always delivers. We appreciate him joining us to begin our program. We are just beginning here on a Monday. A new week has arrived. You've got a pretty good idea what some of the subject matter will be, more guests as well, and your phone calls right around the corner.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and Joe Rexrod will join us next hour. Harry Lyles. Remember John Rhys Plumlee, once the starter at Ole Miss? He had quite a weekend down in Florida for the Gus Bus. He played in the baseball game, where he's quite a star. How about this? At the plate against Memphis. Nice hit there, John Rhys for UCF. And then later, he played QB. Has anyone ever done this before? Yeah, I know Dion did. But not lately. And not during spring. Dion didn't look like that, throwing a QB for a touchdown. Anyway, welcome back. We'll talk to JRP later on. Let's continue with more phone calls. And how about David up next? Hello, David.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. First of all, let me say it is an honor to talk to the greatest sports mind in the United States of America today.
Well, thank you. It's an honor for me to talk to you as well.
You and Barrett answered a question of mine about what you're hearing out of Alabama's quarterback. First, I know it's been two or three weeks since I've talked to you, but I talked to you and I told everybody Kim Mulkey was going to do it. They were going to win the national championship. She's the second greatest coach ever in women's basketball. But are we going to really have to go to the transfer portal to find a quarterback, Paul, at Alabama?
David, I think so, yes. And let me make it clear, I'm not there. All you can do when you sit in a chair like this is depend on people who feel like they know what's going on. So Nick right. Saban may come out next Saturday and go, we got our guy. We're pretty happy. But I would be mildly surprised if that's what he says.
Oh, I'm thinking the same thing. And also, I just want to go ahead and send my condolences out to Matt in Texas. Texas A&M's losing 6 games this year, and it doesn't matter what the buyout is. Jimbo boy's gonna be gone. See you, Paul.
Yes, that's it.
What about that, Matt?
Yeah, I heard him, Paul. We're not losing 6 games. Doesn't he realize Bobby Petrino wants that Nick Saban's number as well? So we're not losing those six games.
Matt, when did Bobby Petrino have Nick Saban's? You talking about his phone number to text or his number as a better coach?
He actually beat him on the field as well, Paul.
Really?
Bobby Petrino has beaten Bobby Petrino on the field. Way before any.
I really don't remember. Can you state specifically when that was that Bobby Petrino beat Nick Saban?
I'll have to look it up again, Paul. So way before I even knew that. I had to look it up.
And by the way, I'm not saying it didn't happen somewhere.
No, I know you're not saying that.
I'm just having a hard time remembering where it was.
I know you're not saying that, but we're not losing our 6 games. It was sometime that
maybe
Arkansas
beat him in golf. I don't know. Let me think for a second. Bobby Petrino was the head coach at Louisville, right?
Mm-hmm.
They played there when Saban was at Michigan State.
I
don't remember
up,
it, but
he beat him when he was in Arkansas.
Golly gee, I don't remember when that was, but I'll be sure to check the records.
But we're not losing 6 games this year, Paul. What I saw in the spring football
game. Well, you lost 7 last year, Matt.
Yes. But what I saw in the spring football game, Paul, Petrino is going to be under control of play calling. He's not going to micromanage it. We're not losing six games. You can't take
everything. Matt, if the guy called you out, just accept. Just take the beating, go home, come back tomorrow. Ricky is up next in Georgia. Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Paul, what's up?
How are you? Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Good to finally get through and be able to talk a little bit about Alabama. I guess everybody wants to know about the quarterback situation. We just had somebody ask you about it, and I've talked to other Alabama fans ad nauseum, really. The situation in Tuscaloosa, as far as I understand it, is that we're nowhere close to deciding who's going to be the starting quarterback. This scrimmage was the Red Elephant Club scrimmage this past Saturday. Both quarterbacks had some moments.
So Ricky, let me make sure I set that up. The Red Elephant Club is the most influential support group of the university. It's consists of clubs all over the South and primarily in Alabama. Now, those members get to go. So what I'm trying to state is, how do we know what's going on at a practice when no media is involved? Well, a lot of sets of eyeballs were there. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. Like I said, the rec was there. There were some guests that were allowed to be there. And, you know, from talking to, 10 or 15 people that were there in person this past Saturday, there were moments when both guys looked like they could be the man, and then there were moments when they looked completely lost. And that's kind of been the story as far as the quarterback battle is concerned all the way through spring practice. Both guys have talent. One is a better runner, of course, in Jalen Milroe. I think Ty Simpson is slightly ahead in the passing game, but he's a bit of a gunslinger, kind of like a young A.J. McCarron. So it's a risk-reward type situation with him. And maybe Nick Saban does look to the portal for a quarterback, but that would be out of character for Nick Saban.
Let me ask you this, Ricky. I know who you are, but I don't want to identify you without your permission. But you are pretty well versed in this. You run a Twitter account, and you're a contributor to Bama media. So I don't want to mischaracterize you in terms of someone that knows what they're talking about. But is that a fair encapsulation of who you are?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. That would be completely fair.
Okay, so you're not just spitballing this. You're talking to people, and you know what's going on. And by the way, I agree with everything you said based on what I've heard, but I just want to make sure I classify who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this isn't just smoke being blown here. This is what I've heard from people that have been there and seen it with their own two eyes. And the quarterback battle is very, very interesting. I don't think we'll have a starting quarterback named until we get to the season. I don't expect to have one in fall camp. The battle will still be going on as far as I'm concerned. Maybe by week one we'll know, and hopefully we will. I know Alabama fans are hoping so because we've got Texas and Steve Sarkisian week two, and that's not exactly a game that you want to be trying to decide who you're starting quarterback.
Ricky, based on what you've heard, are either one of these guys capable of leading Alabama to where fans expect them to go, and that's to play for a national championship?
Well, you know, they have flashes, Paul. I think that Jalen Milroe can do it if he can become a more comfortable passer. He was the second fastest guy on the team last year with that system that they wear at practice. So he's got wheels. He just has to get a little bit better right at communicating and being able to check down quickly if his receivers are not open and it's not there. Don't force the issue and don't wait so long to make a decision.
Ricky, beyond QB, how would you classify this team? I mean, across the board. I mean, what stands out? What's good? What's not?
I'm very encouraged by the defense. Paul, Alabama has some freshmen coming in that are not your typical freshmen. Caleb Downs at safety, I expect to make a huge contribution if he doesn't start at one of the safety spots. I think Alabama's front seven will be particularly strong this year. The defense should be a little bit more like what Alabama fans have become accustomed to during Nick Saban's tenure. Pete Golding has moved on. And we have Kevin Steele, a veteran DC, back in the building. And he's trying to get these guys fired back up and playing to the standard that Alabama set all these years ago. And I think we're close there. There's a question at inside linebacker next to Deontay Lawson that I think will be answered relatively soon. You got a guy like Tresman Marshall that transferred in from Georgia that's competing there. And the other biggest question I would say is who starts at cornerback opposite of Kool-Aid McKinstry. Those are a couple of things that people definitely need to be watching for this year's Alabama Crimson Tide.
Wow, what a great insider report there by Ricky Green. Thank you very much, Ricky. Everyone knows Ricky who follows Alabama. He knows what he's talking about. What does that mean? We'll talk about it when we come back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Logan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hello, Paul. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
First of all, I wanted to correct Matt from San Antonio. Not only did Petrino not have Saban's number, he never beat Saban. I'm a huge Atlanta Falcons fan, and he left them high and dry and went to Arkansas. I was keeping score.
And yeah, Logan, I was 99.9% sure I was right, but I didn't have a chance to look it up while Matt was bloviating. But I appreciate you backing me up on that.
Yeah, you're 100% right, Paul. You knew something was off with that. And that caller, Ricky, that's the first time I've heard any news on Alabama quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree. I have to give Ricky, our Alabama beat reporter, award. We give him a free subscription to AL.com because I did learn a great deal in that conversation.
I know. I was going to ask you last week. I haven't heard anybody say anything about Alabama's quarterback situation, and I guess we're going to find out a little bit on Saturday, but he didn't seem too sure about the current quarterbacks, though, and that made me a little bit nervous.
Well,
and I don't have
Logan, what he told us, if you listen to Rodak the other day, he telegraphed it. He was limited information, and again, he's a reporter, so he doesn't
right.
want to quote a bunch of guys who went to practice. But you could tell the quarterback situation was not great, and I don't know how you handicap Alabama without knowing where the quarterback situation is, because if it's not good, then they have issues.
Yeah, it's impossible to know, Paul. I mean, your quarterback is your main guy. I mean, they can have a great defense, but if they can't move the ball, we're going to be in trouble. And I don't have the schedule in front of me right now, but I wasn't impressed with Milroe. If he actually gets the starting job, how many games do you think Alabama might lose this year? Because I know
well,
Texas
I'm going to throw the schedule up on the screen here in a second. Let's go to the second game of the year at home against Texas. And Ole Miss at home, Mississippi State on the road, A&M on the road. So first three out of the first half of the season, there are, I think, at least three games in question. I say question. I don't mean lose. I say that you have to have a long conversation about. Second half of the season is Arkansas, Tennessee, LSU, at Kentucky, and at Auburn. I think there are two games there that are troublesome. I don't think it's an impossible schedule. In fact, I frankly thought last year's schedule was more difficult, having to go to Tennessee. Worst time in the modern history to play at Tennessee. And the LSU game was a little bit freaky, but you know, outside, I mean, I think Texas is a tough home game. I think A&M is a tough road game. Obviously, Tennessee and LSU, depending on how they bounce back. And Kentucky in November? I don't know. That sounds a little – it's not the kind of place you want to play.
No, I agree with you, and I'm really worried about that Texas game because if they're not – if they haven't got it together early in the season, Sarkisian's going to have those guys ready to play. I mean, he's been there a couple years now, and he's no joke. You know, you saw what he did at Bama. So, yeah, I'm really worried. But I guess I'm going to watch it. SEC Plus is going to be streaming that game. Is that correct? The Alabama spring
I
game?
Believe so, but don't call me and complain if I'm wrong. But that is probably right. How about Irvin is up next in Georgia. Irvin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was calling about the Georgia quarterback situation. And to me, Paul, I think Vandergrift is probably going to be the quarterback that we're probably going to lose because he transferred from Oklahoma, remember?
Right.
And he's probably going to leave again because you can't have too many five-star quarterbacks on the sideline without putting their fingerprint on something. So
Irvin, to me, the thing with Vandergrift is he's been there a while. So
yes,
you have to – I mean, these guys know what's going on. I mean, anybody that's ever played sports at any level knows by the time you get to the end of a practice period – what is going to change in the fall, unless it's just dead even? And
yes,
I don't think it is dead even.
I don't think it's dead even either. I caught the second. I almost missed the game, and when I did catch the second half of the game, Vandergrift was in there, but then when it was time for the offense to change, he changed. I like the way Kirby Smart did this weekend. Instead of him using one quarterback on one side and the other quarterback on the other, he would switch quarterbacks. He would put that same quarterback.
But Irvin, don't read too much into Vandergrift because some of the things that he does best, I didn't see him given the opportunity to do in that game. The coaches know what they're doing. They don't want you to know what they're doing, though. But I mean, he's got some supporters, but ultimately – I think a lot of us are drawing a lot of conclusions from what we saw publicly. Okay, so this is Saturday. Alabama's game. Which one's which? Okay, so these games are both going to be on SEC Plus. If you have to ask me what that means ask your kids. We are taking a short break and are coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And this just in, contract extension for Kelly Harper. She's agreed to a contract extension through the 28th season. Congratulations to Kelly, who's done a really nice job of turning that program around. And we will continue with more of your phone calls right here. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
What's up, Paul?
Hey there.
I'm assuming you watched the Georgia spring game from the way you talk. It's hard to translate, you know, a spring game to the fall. But, I mean, as me and you Tennessee fans, I mean, what did you take away from it as a Tennessee fan watching Georgia?
Quick observation, they have a roster that is unmatched by anyone in college football. They have a couple of good quarterbacks. I'm not sure they have an elite quarterback, but they defense looks like it's – I mean, these are just compilation. You know, good, maybe will take a little while, but the one thing Georgia has that I think has to be – taken into consideration, they don't have a game until Tennessee late in the year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the SEC will be a lot more competitive, you know, just from what Georgia's finally graduated. But I'm interested to see, and I haven't watched the South Carolina game, but I'd be interested to see what they look like with Rattler on offense, but I haven't watched Tennessee yet.
I've heard some people talk about Tennessee. I mean, they look good, but I think Tennessee's the roster is better, and I think that's all you can look at. I mean, Heupel's done a nice job in recruiting. G is up next. Hello, G.
Feinbaum, a long-time listener, and I finally got in and got through.
Thank you.
I'm about to go ballistic. Gosh, all these Yahoos calling in, number one, they don't know anything about the University of Georgia. I was born and raised there. I went to school there, class of 76. I know the Smart family. Number one, we've got a quarterback that's going to be a Heisman candidate. You tell me who that's going to be. It's pretty simple. Anyway, I went ballistic to listen to the guy talking about Vandergriff. Vandergriff was born and raised in Bogart, Georgia. His dad's a coach in Prince Avenue Baptist outside of Athens. Brock Vandergriff is on the verge of being a DGD, damn good dog. And you think he's going to transfer to somewhere like Oklahoma? You got to be kidding.
Gee, the only reason he would transfer is if he realizes that he has no mobility in front of him. Players nowadays, and it doesn't matter whether they're a DGB or an XYZ, they want to play. They don't want to sit on the bench when they can leave without penalty. And I think that's the most important thing to remember.
And that's the thing. The culture at Georgia is predicated on putting in your time to earning quality time, snaps, playing time. And at the end of this next year, you're going to see Carson Beck go to the NFL. Brock is going to be right in line to be the next starting quarterback. I don't know that he'll play more than a year. He'll have another year of eligibility. And I just don't see anybody in the quarterback room transferring, the three main quarterbacks.
Well, listen, I'm not as optimistic as you because I tend to believe that players, regardless of who their parents are and whether they grew up with a bulldog statue in their room, want to play. It's as simple as that. Tim Tebow grew up with a gator on his mailbox and wanted to go to Alabama. Why? Personality. Don't get hung up on daddy and granddaddy. This is a different world that we're living in today. Thanks for the call. Greg is in Mississippi. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Appreciate taking my call, buddy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Did you get to check out any of the series down in Start Vegas down at the Dude this past weekend?
I
almost had 50,000 there.
No, I did. Tell me about it.
Oh, man, it was awesome. We were there Friday night, and then the game was on the SEC channel Saturday, and then we pulled that one out yesterday. We won the series, lost that first one Friday, but anyway, pulled it out there Saturday and Sunday, and just a great atmosphere. I think the state's back on track. You know, we get the typical Rebelette response over from Oxford, neither team's probably going to go too far. But anyway, they just took the air out of the room. But anyway, I'm just so proud of the Bulldogs and just wanted to touch base with you, brother, and enjoying the show.
Well, thank you very much. I know a little bit about that. I was in Oxford a couple of years ago for something and happened to take in a game between Mississippi State and Ole Miss. It's a little bit different than just your garden variety weekend series. Trey is in Arkansas. You're on the air. Hello, Trey.
How you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
All right. I wanted to tell Matt that I'm a Arkansas Razorback fan. I've been so since I was 4 and I'm 15 years old. All right. Arkansas hasn't beat Alabama since 2006. So how about that, Matt from San Antonio? Don't know what you're talking about. You should probably keep your mouth shut.
Ooh, and by the way, Trey, let me double check here on that rivalry. Who has bragging rights right now? It looks like it may be the Aggies.
Yeah, so what?
Yeah, so what? Well, I'll tell you what, you and Matt need to settle this like men. I don't mean like that way. I mean, you know, we'll have both of you on one day and you and Matt can, did I say that incorrectly?
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting talk it out. Hug it, and then hug it out.
Hug.
That's what we want. We want hugging. Brandon is in Georgia. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well.
Good, good. Hey, I was just wanting to make a comment about the Vandegraaff and the Georgia QB situation. First off, I grew up a Georgia fan. My dad packed me up when I was a little boy, took us to the 79 and 80 national championship.
Woo.
And, yeah, that was fun. But you know, Vandegrift, he comes from, you know, the small town Bogart, Georgia, playing in a single-A high school level. I don't think he's played the kind of competition that he's going to see, you know, in the SEC yet. Obviously, he plays against the Georgia's defense and so forth. But I think Gunnar Stockton may be as good or better. You know, he's got a, you know, I watched his release.
You know, you just said something, Brandon. I hate to run. Is there a tougher job, though, than to play the Georgia defense every day in practice? I mean, what he did in high school doesn't matter anymore. What you see now matters. But I agree. I mean, when you come from those single A high schools, and it can hold you back. 1 hour down.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.